the Nightly News Podcast. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Rags, discussing today's news, conspiracy news, and news you won't hear anywhere else. Only on the Disclosure Media Network. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net.
Hello and good evening to those of you listening on our live streams from YouTube, TuneIn, and Ustream. And of course, all of you that download our podcast on iTunes. I'm Jason, I'm your host, and you're listening to the Nightly News Podcast. Again, folks, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Tonight, we welcome a wonderful guest, Marie Jones. Marie D. Jones is a best-selling author. Her book, 2013, End of Days or a New Beginning, was one of the top-selling books to explore the 2012 enigma. She has been on hundreds of radio shows worldwide and appeared on the History Channel's Nostradamus Effect and Ancient Aliens television series discussing the power of three, sacred geometry, and ancient knowledge. Marie is also the author and contributing author to over 75 inspirational books. Marie has been a published writer since late childhood with hundreds of articles, essays, short stories, and reviews to her credit. And she served as a staff writer for Intrepid magazine and a regular contributor to the New Dawn magazine, Paranoia magazine, and Fate magazine. She lectures widely on the subjects. She widely on the subjects of cutting-edge science, the paranormal, UFOlogy, consciousness, noestics, spirituality, and metaphysics, and is considered an authority on the links between science and quantum physics, metaphysics, and the paranormal. She is also a published novelist with several books hitting the market in 2015. She and Larry Flaxman, her co-author on a number of projects, created Paraexplorers for their ongoing works together as an X-File style team of explorers and researchers. For more information, please visit her website at www.mariedjones.com. Marie, welcome to the program. Thanks for sharing your time with us this evening. How are you doing? I think maybe you probably didn't catch all that intro, but welcome to the show.
I did. Yeah, thank you. No, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on. Her new book is Mind Wars, and it is a wonderful book. I've had the chance to read it. I want to thank the publishers for sending the book to me. It's a great book. Marie, you know, this book you have out, The Mind Wars, it's just mind-blowing, the information that you have in this book and how it's basically, you know, collaborating with what's really going on today and the mind control that I think is continuing.
Right. And a lot of people don't like to think about that. They sort of pass this off as conspiracy theory or the stuff of movies and TV shows like 24 and the Manchurian Candidate. But it really is not only a part of our history, it's definitely happening today. And it's definitely something that we're going to be dealing with in the future, and especially as technology gets more sophisticated. So then will the methods of controlling our behavior and manipulating our behavior as well.
Yes, absolutely. So I wanted to start off with this question here for you. Why did you both title the book, and of course I'm talking about Larry Flaxman, your co-author, Mind Wars? Who and what are we at war with over our minds?
I love the title because it really talks about how if you're not in control of your own thoughts, if you're not in control of your mind, you're really opening it up to just about anybody and anything. And that includes the government, the media, corporations that want to sell you something, other people, cults, religion, politics. Our minds have so much information coming at them, and they have to figure out what to process, what's important, what's just necessary for survival. But what I think is happening now is that we're so distracted and busy, and we're so dependent on our technology that we've really forgotten how to be discerning about the thoughts that we allow into our minds. And I would say that the vast majority of people don't even, they're not even aware of what they're thinking at any given time.
No,
they're just on autopilot, right?
Yes, yeah, they are on autopilot, and I don't know if it's the amount of psychotropic drugs that these people are on now, because the pharmaceutical companies, they're just pushing these drugs on to everyone for any ailment that you may have. And, you know, Absolutely. You watch TV and these commercials. Do you have this? Do you have that? So you need this drug. And then you hear the side effects and it's like, geez, do I really want to?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's insane. But you see how they set you up. Do you have these symptoms, or is this something you might want to talk to your doctor about? They kind of set you up to want to actually take this to make your life easier. And you sort of just gloss over those awful side effects. And it's just so funny how quickly they talk through them. My son and I get the biggest kick out of listening to the side effects and, you know, dismemberment and blindness and death. And it's like, come on, I think I'd rather be depressed.
Like, you're having trouble sleeping, so take this drug, and you might have suicide thoughts, and, you know, and it's like...
It's ridiculous. It's insane.
You know, if you probably would just look at it's probably something just in your life. If you're having trouble sleeping, maybe, you know, cut down on the caffeine or...
Exactly.
Probably a pill isn't the answer.
You know, whatever. Yeah, I honestly think that society today, we just want everything faster, easier, you know, we want more, we want it quicker, we don't want to have to get healthy, we'd rather take pills to make us feel healthy, we'd rather cover up the symptoms than take all that time and effort to get to the cause, and that sets us up for an awful lot of this type of mind control and behavior modification. We're sort of like sitting ducks for it.
No, you're right. And now you said earlier that, you know, everyone calls it a conspiracy and this and that. Is mind control just a big conspiracy?
Not at all. It's a part of our history that has been proven. We've got declassified documentation. You know, it's something that we know goes on in things like cults. It's a very visible technique whereby people are drawn into religious institutions, political ideologies. We certainly see the media manipulation where you just go on social networking and you see people sending stories virally that aren't even real. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the social media aspect. Do you think that is the newest form of mind control?
I think it's a wonderful outlet for it because we have so much fun on there. And I mean, I admit I'm on there too. As a writer, I have to promote my work and myself. And
right.
I'm a pretty friendly, open person, although I have a very, very private side that nobody sees. But when I'm on social networking, I'm having fun and I'm meeting people and I'm talking and sharing and goofing around or whatever. And the thing is that at least I'm aware of the fact that Facebook does conduct its own experiments on its users.
Yes.
And we know that for a fact.
They've admitted it.
Yeah, they actually, they did a behavior modification experiment on 700,000 users without telling them, where they literally created an algorithm to only post either positive or negative content. And then they studied the responses. And, you know, that's manipulative. That's deceptive. When you're not telling people that you're purposely planting stories and pictures and items on their newsfeed just so you can do some social experiment, which was later published in a journal, and that's how it went public, you know, that's manipulative. And social networking is something that is so popular, whether you're talking Facebook or Twitter, or some of the other ones, I don't even know, you know, a lot of the younger people are on Tumblr, and I don't even know all the names of them, but
most thing that bothers me with the social media, it seems most folks don't even read the articles. They see a headline, and they sprout whatever they comes to their mind, and most folks don't even go to the articles, don't even read it, and it's just amazing how much folks just could care less.
Yeah. it's and then what do? They share it with their, 2,000 friends, and then they share it.
Yep.
And it's all over the place. I remember a few years ago, I did that by mistake. There was a story and I forgot what it was. And I posted it. I was like, oh my God, look at this. And somebody called me out on it and said, Marie, look, that's April Fool's story. It was April 1st. And I was like, oh, I am so embarrassed. That taught me a lesson, because even for someone like me who is aware of this stuff, I wrote a book about it. Larry and I wrote a book called Viral Mythology, where we talk about how information goes viral. And, here I was, guilty as charged. And it is so easy to get caught up in that enthusiasm, or, we're busy. We don't always have time to click on the article and read it. But what I found is that even just clicking on the article to see if it's a satire piece, if it's humor, what the date is, sometimes it takes you to a joke link. I mean, really, people don't even take the time to do the slightest amount of research to see where that news story came from.
No, you're right. I just wanted to touch base because with this next topic here, because it's in the news, the senseless murders in South Carolina with that crazy guy. Some people are already saying, that it was a false flag or a conspiracy. Supposedly the kid or guy, whatever you want to say he is,
right,
was on drugs, Suboxone, I think. And I'm not saying that's the reason he did things, but, some of his friends have come out and said that, here in the last 30 days or something, he just changed. So,
Do
you think mind control can play into this?
Absolutely. And I'm not saying it is, because I do firmly believe that there are crazy people out there.
Absolutely.
Who take guns and go and shoot up schools and whatnot. That happens. I don't buy into. You see, there are a lot of extremist opinions, and sometimes you'll get the opinion that these people have nothing to do with a greater conspiracy, but you'll also get the extremists that say that every single shooting is MK Ultra, is somebody under mind control. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. Now, we do know that in the past, there have been it's called shooter syndrome. There have been situations where there's been a lot of circumstantial evidence to show that maybe these people are under some kind of control.
And you talk about it in your book, you talk about trigger words, and just a word can trigger someone to completely change. And that's what I thought was interesting. This kid went from what all means a normal kid, it looked like, to here in the last month or so what his friends say, that he just changed. So just something happened.
It was activated. That's what the conspiracy folks will say. And I have a lot of respect for conspiracy theory, because I really truly believe that where there's smoke, there's often fire. So we have to pay attention to that. In the case of the Sandy Hook and the Aurora shootings, there are so many weird factoids that come out that have you just shaking your head saying, wow, okay, that's creepy. This goes all the way back to, the assassinations from the 1960s. And one of the things that I was surprised was the possible MKUltra connection with Sirhan Sirhan, who killed RFK, Kennedy. And the fact that his own psychologists who came to see him in prison were saying, there might be something to this. This guy may have been under hypnosis and under some kind of order, and that heard the trigger could have been a phrase or even an image, because Sirhan Sirhan insisted and still does to this day that he doesn't remember what happened. And people could say, oh, he's just crazy. Well, no, he was looked at by a couple of different psychologists who determined he was not mentally ill, not schizophrenic. So there definitely is something to it. And I think I'm like you in that whenever something happens now, that thought does go in my head. And I start looking for information
that
might...
The telltale signs?
Yeah. But again, sometimes it is just a crazy kid who was depressed or broke up with his girlfriend, couldn't handle it.
What's your take on the Aurora shooting and Sandy Hook? Do you think
those Sandy Hook, not so much maybe, but the Aurora shooting, that was just creepy.
And the guy, he was on drugs too, as far as I think psychotropic drugs.
Oh, yeah. and he had a long history of taking them. He was even studying, like, what was it, neuro something. Let me see if I can find exactly what it was. He was in school studying this stuff and kind of.
How easy is it to, with these drugs, how easy is it to manipulate someone's mind?
Well, here's the thing. When Project MKUltra, which was our, you know, lovely CIA program during the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, when that documentation was declassified, and we know that the vast majority of that documentation was destroyed by Richard Helms, but the documentation that was later discovered and declassified shows that the use of drugs, whether we're talking LSD or, you know, other types of psychotropic drugs, hallucinogens, they were used in conjunction with hypnosis, in conjunction with abuse, deprivation, whether food, water, or sensory deprivation. So it's like they sort of had this cocktail of techniques whereby they literally obliterate the identity of these people.
Are there people out there who are more susceptible to this type of mind control?
Gosh, you know, I think so, and I'll tell you why. If you look at cults and you look at the people that join cults or get sucked into a cult, for a long, long time, I believed that only stupid people, only weak, stupid people could join cults. And then about 10 years ago, I remember I had wanted to write a book about cults, but I got sidetracked with something else. And in the research, and again in the research for Mind Wars, we keep hearing that the people that join cults are often very intelligent, very intellectually intelligent. But here's the thing. They're highly empathic, highly compassionate, highly sensitive. So it's almost as if these predators, these psychopaths and narcissists that are these cult leaders know exactly who to target. And I think that applies to mind control as well. If you go for someone who's very compassionate and who's very empathic, sensitive, people that are isolated or have a sense of isolation, they don't have as strong an emotional support network maybe. I think that, you know, and a lot of times they go for children. In MKUltra, a lot of the victims, when they first began to be experimented on, were young children because their brains are pliable and they're so suggestible, and
now
get them to do anything.
Can trigger words be added at a young age and then be instituted 20 years later?
Sure. If you program something into the subconscious and you don't take it out by deprogramming or programming over it with something new, absolutely. That's what's so powerful about this, is that this is all about reprogramming the subconscious of these victims and these subjects that were experimented on. None of this is conscious. It's all done in a way that the triggers and programs are embedded deep within the subconscious mind, and the victims don't even know what the triggers are. They just react when they go off. They don't know that they are now split into five different personalities called alters. They don't know that this is being done to them. And they can have several different personalities, and one of those can be that of an assassin.
Oh, wow.
And once that assassin carries out its job, his or her job, they are also programmed to forget everything. Some of them are programmed to commit suicide so that there's never any chance of them remembering or somebody getting a hold of them and being able to get the information out of them. It's terrifying. And, you know, just because MKUltra was shut down in the mid-70s, do we really think this stuff still isn't going on some level? I think it definitely has to be.
It definitely is, I would say. And it's probably a lot more advanced than what it was back in the 60s and the 50s.
Right, not so crude.
Right. Now, you've talked about MKUltra and the things that happened back in the 50s and the 60s, but let's go farther back, you know, to the ancient times. Did our ancient ancestors use any forms of mind control?
The reason why we asked that question is because when we were writing, we were thinking, you know, human nature, come on, this is a part of human behavior to want to control and manipulate somebody else. This happens in personal relationships, boss-employee relationships. Yeah, it's just a part of our nature. So we figured that this goes back to the dawn of humanity. I mean, cave people were probably using different techniques to manipulate each other. And what was interesting about in ancient times, all ancient civilizations relied heavily on ritual and rites. And these are structured ways of getting people to be engage in certain activities or behave a certain way. It was usually for the benefit of worshiping the deities, the gods and goddesses, to please the gods and goddesses. But sometimes the rituals were part of secret societies where you were initiated into some special society that made you feel really important because not everybody could be a part of this. So those rituals, you were going to follow them to the T, so that you would remain a part of the secret society. There's that play on identity and importance that you often see in cults today. So the rituals that were used in ancient Egypt and Rome and even back in Babylonian times, Sumerian times, they were worshiping deities. And they were doing it in a very structured way that you had to abide by. You had to stick to those rites. If you didn't, you might screw something up. You might make the gods mad at you and cause a volcano to erupt. So ritual and rite.
Sorry, I just have to interrupt you. You know, you say that a couple of about four people over, and I can't remember what country it was, but I guess they went streaking on some. You may have read this in the news. They went streaking on a mountain, and I think it was Malaysia, possibly. And I guess they took some pictures up there, and they were naked or whatever. Well, I guess that's their culture thinks, you know, that was a big no-no, and that now they're afraid that the volcano is going to go off. And
So that was the way that the powerful, the gods and goddesses had most of the control, but also the power authorities of that time, the priests and priestesses and, you know, whoever was in a powerful political or religious position. You follow these rituals. Follow the status quo. You keep in line and everything will be okay. That's a form of mind control and manipulation. And certainly they also use torture and they also use drugs that they had available at the time to keep people in line.
Yep, you're definitely correct. For those who are just joining us, I'm speaking with author Marie D. Jones. Her new book with her co-author Larry Flaxman is Mind Wars, A History of Mind Control, Surveillance, and Social Engineering by the Government, Media, and Secret Societies. Now, I wanted to ask you, now I know we probably touched base on this a little bit, but how has our own government been involved in mind control experimentation over time? I know we covered MK Ultra, but I'm sure there's plenty more.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is right after World War II, we brought the Nazis over. They're brilliant scientists.
Operation Paperclip.
Paperclip. And we also bought some of their torturers and their abusers and their psychologists and, you know, neuroscientists who were very adept at methods of behavior control in you know, the concentration camps. So we literally built MKUltra on the backs of that horrendous research that came out of those concentration camps. Now, certainly before that, our government was most likely up to no good. But the thing about MKUltra was it was so big and unwieldy that that's why it became exposed. So we can imagine what smaller programs were probably operational during World War One and even before. During the Revolutionary War and Civil War, we had spies that we would send into enemy territory. So we always were thinking of ways to get information or manipulate the other side. So I can imagine, going all the way back to the Middle Ages, we've had torture as a method of controlling other people's behaviors and changing their thoughts and beliefs. In terms of after MKUltra, certainly I talked to several people that one woman who did a lot of work with prison and prison experiments, and she said absolutely they're continuing. They've continued on much smaller scale, mental institutions, you know, I can imagine orphanages. So I think after MKUltra, the lid was blown off. What probably happened is it shattered into a lot of smaller, more under the radar programs. Now today, a lot of this is being done with technology. A lot of this is being done with non-lethal weapons. And people are being targeted in that way. I don't think those crude methods we used back in the 50s and 60s apply anymore. I think now we have much smarter ways of controlling the populace and getting people to think the way that we, and when I say we, I mean the powers that be, want them to think. And certainly the media, manipulating the news and manipulating the media that you're exposed to is one of the biggest ways that they do that.
Well, the media manipulation is definitely strong. You know, the big I don't know, big three or four. You know, there's only, and they're controlled by moguls.
Yeah.
And you know,
just a handful of conglomerate, you know, corporations literally control 90% or more of what you think is news, and that's astounding.
It really is. I got this next question here, and we probably definitely have touched base with it still. But are we still being controlled today? Obviously, we are. And in what ways do you think are more predominant? Is it the social media that is the controlling factor now?
Well, I think if you look at the way that technology has changed, we live now in a world where our 2 and 3 year old kids are on. Playing on cell phones, and you know, they're on computers, and it's a completely different world now. So you have to imagine that the techniques of manipulation and control would change as well. And I certainly think that the media is probably the biggest one, and that includes social media, literally finding ways to influence the things that you think are important. And what you take is news and fact and truth. And it's all very, very manipulative. You don't even know what's happening because you turn on your local news and you listen to the news stories and you just kind of think, well, these reporters are telling me what's going on in the world. No, actually, they're telling you what they've been told is going on in the world.
And what they want you to know.
Exactly. And the more you are aware of this, the easier it is to hear the spin. And then it's shocking. And another thing that I've noticed a lot more lately, and you and I were talking earlier about the pharmaceutical industry, the fact that the people that are paying for commercial airtime on the news, you know, during your news programming, can literally dictate what you're being told is news. So if you have a lot of big pharma ads going during your hour of local news, you'll probably notice several pro-pharmaceutical stories that are mentioned that night.
Wow.
And again, once you become aware of it, it's just so blatant. But if you're not really aware, if you're so distracted with life, it just goes in one ear and it gets in your subconscious and you don't even know what's happening.
Do you think that's why things have gotten as worse as they are? Is just people are just completely distracted, either, you know, with their own lives, work, kids, you know, feed, you know, all that stuff? Everything's a 24-hour news cycle, and, you know, it's just, what is the reason that we've gotten the worst, how bad we've gotten?
Because of our dependency on technology, we've become incredibly distracted, incredibly lazy. We don't even want to think for ourselves anymore. We'd much rather have somebody tell us what's important. I see this happening so much, and it's very disturbing. You know, people will say, oh, we just have so much more going on now than people did, you know, 50 years ago. Well, absolutely. But the thing is we have the power to discern what is important and what's not. Just because now we have, you know, 1,000 times more information coming at us every hour of our lives than people 100 years ago did, doesn't mean that we need to absorb it all and believe it all and buy into it all. If anything, the fact that many people are complaining of depression, anxiety, and exhaustion is a warning that we're taking in too much. We're not being discerning about what information we allow to kind of get into our minds. And I just, you know, I'm just amazed that people don't talk to each other face to face as much anymore. They're too busy looking at their gadgets.
Yes.
Social interaction is going down the toilet. You kids don't go outside and play as much, so we're disconnecting from nature. I think all of those are allowing us to become far more susceptible to manipulation than we were when we were more aware of our surroundings.
No, you're completely right. For those who are just joining the program, we are speaking with Marie D. Jones. She is the author, co-author with her co-author Larry Flaxman, Mind Wars, A History of Mind Control, Surveillance, and Social Engineering by the Government, Media, and Secret Societies. To get the book or find out more information, just visit mariedjones.com. Now, Marie, I just wanted to, in your book, I read that, you know, of course, with publishers and stuff, you have a word count. And
yes,
what would you like to say on this program that you wasn't able to put in the book?
I think one thing covered. I know. I think we covered just about everything, but it didn't allow us. Let's put it this way: every single chapter of this book could have been a whole book, and there are a lot of books out there that focus on very specific subjects. For example, there's a number of really good books that are just all about the history of MKUltra. There are books that are just about cults. There are books that are just about the history of social programming and engineering. So what Larry and I wanted to do, because we really felt like this was needed, is we wanted to offer something that was somewhat introductory for people that were a little anxious or nervous about the subject matter because they thought it was the stuff of, you know, spooky conspiracy theories.
Do you get a lot of pushback with these type of books? Do you find it hard to get it published? Or, I mean...
No. I was so... You know, New Page Books has been really great for us, and they're allowing us to do some different things and kind of branch out. And we're going to be doing a lot more of that with, in addition with other publishers. But I think because Larry and I never really got pegged as a certain type of writer team. Like, we wrote books about the paranormal. We wrote books about metaphysics. We wrote books about ancient knowledge. We wrote books about UFOs. We wrote books about sciencey stuff. So that really allowed us to be able to come with a book like this and say, this is what we want to do. Not just that, but the way that we wrote it, I think we tried really, really hard to be objective and yet to show both sides of the coin. You know, what can be proven, what a conspiracy theorist, what do they talk about, what do they think, and not to get too extreme either way.
Right. Now, you said UFO there, and I just wanted to bring that because I read that in the book also. Can you tell a little bit about the UFO angle with MKUltra?
I had no idea there was one. I talked to my good pal Nick Redfern because he knows everything about UFOs. And yeah, I was shocked to find out that there were literally experiments allegedly done, and this is, you know, on behalf of witnesses who have made these claims, that suggests that a lot of the UFO activity during the 1960s and maybe into the early 70s was a sort of a mass mind control experiment, mass hallucinations, if you will. This one gentleman that he told me about, Bosko Nedeljković, who was a Yugoslavian, actually worked at the International Development, or U.S. Department of the State Agency for International Development. That's a mouthful. And he worked on classified projects and claimed that there were fabricated UFO events that were part of MKUltra. And the reason for these was to sort of see how people would react, to see if they could literally embed memories of a UFO event in more than one person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all this stuff. So there were some connections made to one of the most famous UFO events of that time, and that was in Exeter, New Hampshire. And John Fuller, who I read all his books, you know, as a ufologist, he had written a book called Incident at Exeter, where he literally documented everything that was going on there with the sightings and the abductions and whatnot. And he clearly later had links to MKUltra, including a gentleman named Frank Olson, who was killed, and many believe he was murdered because of the knowledge that he had on some of the MKUltra experimentation. So it's just really strange to think that some of the UFO events of that time, whether it was Betty and Barney Hill and their classic abduction in the White Mountain area of New Hampshire, or, you know, Exeter, it was all in this particular part of the country, too, in the Northeast, that these were fabricated, that they were not real. And is that still happening today?
That's very interesting.
Some of these waves of sightings being literally implanted in the minds of the observers and not really happening? That opens up a whole new can of worms. Now, there's not a lot on UFOs and MKUltra, but that's just enough to really get you thinking that, wow.
Indeed. Can you explain some of the technologies like V2K that are being used to harass and harm people?
Yeah, this was really a creepy chapter. And Larry and I had no idea that this stuff was going on. And people kept saying, if you're going to write about this, you have to write about targeted individuals, TIs. And what are they? And these are people who claim, and there are hundreds of thousands of them in this country alone, who claim that they're being electronically harassed. And it could be with microwave pulses, with what they call directed energy weapons. And one of the means by which that harassment occurs is through something called voice-to-skull transmission, or its more scientific name, which is the microwave auditory effect. This is a patented technology that goes back into the 1960s, whereby someone can, using a remote source, can project into the brain of another human being pulses, tones, clicks, and even voices and actual phrases and sentences.
Wow.
So if you're harassing somebody with V2K, they'll hear voices in their head, or maybe they'll hear what sounds like Morse code. I actually had this happen while I was writing the book. Now, whether it was V2K or something else entirely, I don't know, but it was very chilling because I was experiencing, I'm a ham radio operator, and I know what Morse code sounds like, and I was experiencing like pulses, and sometimes late at night it would be musical tones in my head of specific durations, almost like the dots and lines of Morse code.
Wow.
Yeah, scary. And it only happened for a 2-month period. And then when we turned the book in, I actually moved from that location, which was at the top of a hill and a really good target for anybody who, you know, had a ham radio or I was such a sitting duck. Now I live way down in a valley and nobody can get to me. And it stopped. But some of these people, and I talked to many of them, they hear voices, they hear sentences, they hear their names being called. They are told that they're crazy, they're schizophrenic, they're mentally ill. Or sometimes they just don't even tell anybody this is happening. But this technology has been patented. It's been demonstrated time and time again. It's not in secret. So if the technology exists, why wouldn't it be used for this kind of manipulation? The question, though, is why? Are these people whistleblowers that are being harassed to get them to shut up? Are they just guinea pigs of this new technology that's maybe now being adjusted and made more sophisticated? It really is creepy, really creepy.
Yeah, you know, I had read, I guess the military has that software. I had read somewhere where they're able to, basically just what you said, they're able to beam messages to people's, you know, head by a microwave. Is that how you said it? I think that's how.
They can use microwave. They can use, the radio waves. There was an experiment done, I believe it was back in the 60s. Might have even been, no, I think it was actually way back in the 1920s. And the researcher's last name was Delgado, and I just completely blanked out on his first name. But he literally experimented with a bull implanting a device in its head that allowed him to alter the bull's behavior by using a little remote control device, the way you would with a little toy remote control car. So this technology has been around for a long time, and I can only imagine. Now, V2K began in the early 1960s. It was made a lot more sophisticated with research in the 70s. How long ago was that? So I can't even imagine now.
40s in England is what I'm being told by someone listening.
Yeah, I mean, imagine now with the technology available that we don't know about, what they can put in your mind. Thoughts, ideas, sentences, words, and much worse. And maybe even affect your behavior without you even knowing why. One minute you're happy and the next minute you're depressed. One minute you're suicidal, the next minute you're ecstatic. We don't even know what they're capable of doing.
Well, Maria, I've got a question from our listeners. One of our listeners who's listening, he's also a good friend of the program, Rex Bear. And he has a few questions that he'd like to ask you, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Stand by, and we'll get Rex on the line here, folks. Okay, folks, we got Rex Bear here. He's a friend of the program. He's also got his own show that he does, The Leak Project. So, Rex, I know you've got some questions for Marie. Go ahead.
Hey, Marie, it's great to have an opportunity to speak with you. So,
hi.
Hey, so I wanted to ask you a couple of questions because I've had the opportunity to speak with Kathleen Marden. She's the niece of Betty and Barney Hill.
Right.
Yeah, and she told me about what they had the experience of, or at least what they think they had an experience of, and there was some physical evidence, actually, when the abduction supposedly took place. So I heard you talking earlier about the mass hypnotic UFO phenomenon where many people thought that maybe they were abducted and they weren't, and I was just wondering if you could explain the data that you've obtained to point to there being a mass mind control psyop.
Oh, there's very little. Like I said, the connection with MKUltra, that's very little. And it's all the alleged claims of this one individual who mentioned the Betty and Barney Hill case. But that doesn't mean, I think, there are plenty of abduction cases with physical evidence that we know are happening.
Right.
Or have happened. But what this gentleman was suggesting was that during the early 1960s, when MKUltra was in full swing, that some of the events that were happening could have been fabricated. But yeah, I don't have proof of that.
I
would say with Betty and Barney Hill that, they had an experience. Well, but here's another thing. How do we know that the government didn't plant that physical evidence to make the fabrication look more realistic? We really don't know what the government is capable of. The connection to MKUltra was a very thin one. And like I said, Nick is probably the guy that knows any other connections.
Great guy.
Said that was probably, yeah, he said that was probably the one that had the most meat to it.
Yeah, Nick is a great guy. Jason and I have both had the opportunity to speak with Nick several times. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about as well is the research that I've done. I have found a substantial amount of scientific data pointing to if an individual actually sees something happen, even if he's not a part of it, the part of his brain will activate as if he was a part of that event taking
absolutely.
Place.
Yeah.
So now with the Hollywood media and the special effects and the abilities that they have, is there any information that you could maybe share with us that would, give us solid data pointing to there are mind control programs going on right now with these blockbuster movies coming out? So this is what you need to look for in order not to get usurped up by the Borg system, per se.
Yeah, that's part of the whole social engineering theory. Here's the thing. I'm a writer. And I write fiction, I write screenplays, I write nonfiction. I write sometimes just fun stuff to entertain. I've written UFO stories. I have a script being shopped. I don't necessarily know that I'm doing that because I'm under some government mind control program to help with disclosure, or I'm just turned on by that stuff and I like to write about it. So it's hard for me as a writer to make that call. I know Hollywood works both sides of the fence. With the movie The Manchurian Candidate, the original with Frank Sinatra, there was a whole lot of weird government involvement in that movie. That movie was made for a purpose. Today, Independence Day, you know, they're making part two. Is that part of some, you know, insidious quest to leak out information so that we could get the public ready for big disclosure? It might be, but it also could be that there are people just writing about the stuff that's fascinating to them. So I kind of buy in a little bit to both theories as a writer. I think that people are always asking me, when is disclosure going to happen? And I always say, it's already happening. It's the trickle down. You know? It's the constant stories and movies and novels and nonfiction books and TV series about aliens, about UFOs, about this, that, and the other thing. Are they meant to get us prepared so that we can better absorb the information when it's finally made official? It very well could be. But I also know a lot of writers that write that kind of stuff just because science fiction is what they love. So that's a really tough question for me to answer.
Sure it is. And, you know, another thing, too, with the research that you've done, have you been able to get into grasp with who actually is controlling things at the top levels? I know that in the 70s, there were Congress meetings where the Congress was pinning the CIA to admit that they were funding right. certain networks, et cetera. If you watch the Communist News Network or many of these other mainstream brain drain medias, they seem to have certain agendas and try and wag the dog, per se. So right, have you been able to find out who's actually controlling these conglomerates to push these certain agendas?
Well, you can only get to a certain point and nobody's going to find out. Let's put it that way. But if, you know, we know the NSA is working with Google. Okay, that was just disclosed. We know that the NSA, the CIA, and the FBI are, you know, putting our cell phone records and our internet activity under surveillance. So those are usually the bad guys. DARPA, Department of Defense, get mentioned a lot. But here's my take on it. Follow the money. And when it comes to Congress and politics and who's got the power, the money comes from big pharma and big agribusiness. Those are the power players, I think, that we need to be really careful of. The government guys will tell you, we're doing this for national security. We're doing this to protect you. Maybe to some degree they are. But I think the more sinister element here comes from the pharmaceutical companies. Companies like Dow and Monsanto. They're literally poisoning us to death and have the money to be able to buy politicians to get you to accept it with a smile on your face. They scare me more than anybody. I know people talk about the Illuminati and the Bilderberg, you know, all of this stuff. I think the power players from both of those mediums, the government and the corporate side of things, make up those entities. But I don't know which one is more powerful than the other. Let's put it that way. Oh, my
sure.
gosh. Excuse me.
Hello.
But
yeah,
me,
you brought up Monsanto. You know, I
am far more afraid than corporations than I am of my own government. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Monsanto, they used to make Agent Orange in Vietnam, and now they produce the chemicals that are put on most of the corn crops around the country. So that's definitely a concern. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. I wish I could have answered your questions a little more with more information, but unfortunately, I think the truth is still out there.
Well, let me ask you one more question here before I take off, because this jumped in my mind. You brought up the Aurora shooting earlier, where James Holmes supposedly walked into a theater, or actually busted into the outside of a movie theater all by himself and shot 12 people, and then was able to heavily fortify his apartment complex with bombs and booby traps, blasted out of his mind. You look at this Dylann Roof character that I had the opportunity to watch the dash cam of him getting arrested, and it was as if he wasn't even there. You know, I mean, it looked like he just didn't even know what was going on. The same case with the mass shootings that happened in Sandy Hook. And it just seems as if all these characters are on some type of CIA pixie dust, and they're just completely
blasted
out of their mind.
I, totally agree with you. You look in their eyes and they're just, it's void.
So and what's causing that?
Well, I can't say with 100% certainty that they were under some directive to do what they did. But I do know that there are people out there that pick up weapons and do nasty, rotten things. It's hard to know the truth. But if you look at some of these people and their behavior, and certainly with Holmes, my God, he looked so vacant. He looked shell-shocked. You can almost get yourself to believe that they were under some form of mind control and that they certainly were not in their right mind when they did what they did. I think that's important to note too. Why were they not in their right minds? Was it pharmaceuticals? Was it mind control? Were they just, some of those messed up people that are walking the planet that we all need to look out for? I don't think anybody's going to know. If you ask him, he's probably not going to know. I think, weren't they interviewing him? Boston Marathon bomber who they said was going to get to speak. I imagine these guys probably are clueless as to their own behavior because I think they probably blank out when they do what they do. But does that mean they're under mind control? I'm not sure.
Well, and does it mean they even did it? I mean, you brought up mind control and how the media orchestrates these certain events. If you watch the Family Guy episode a week before the Boston Marathon massacre took place, there was an episode of Peter making friends with a Islamic terrorist, and then Peter, this fat guy, running down a bunch of people in the Boston Marathon. There's Simpson episodes that come out a week before these events take place.
Oh, and then 9/11. There's all these.
Yeah.
There were a lot of stuff that came out right before 9/11. Absolutely. I just, I can't tell you yes or no. I like to say there's an awful lot of.
Oh, we're having some audio issues there. Rex, are you having the same audio issues?
As a matter of fact, I am. I was wondering if it was just on my end, but it sounds like you're getting it too.
Yeah, you're just cutting in and out there. Marie, are you still there?
Flares, I'm telling you.
Yeah, these solar flares are probably definitely causing some issues.
The Borg have assimilated you.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating that our government might be up to that kind of stuff. And chilling, certainly. And there's an awful lot of circumstantial evidence to point in that direction. But I can't say yes or no with 100% certainty.
Well, Rex, I want to thank you for stopping by and asking some great questions for the guest. For those who want to follow Rex, he's got a YouTube channel. Just search Leak Project on YouTube, and you can find all his great videos out there. Marie, we're coming up to the top of the hour here, and in closing, I just want to ask you this question. What are ways we can protect ourselves from invasions of our privacy?
There's not a lot, unfortunately, I could have been on. He actually works for Homeland Security and cybersecurity, and he has told me nothing. They're open steps ahead. There's some there people.
Wow.
I need to know exactly where you are. They will find you if they need to. You're posting the internet, with your credit card and your common sense things, but when it comes to the greater stuff, the amount of surveillance that we're under, I think it's really just about becoming aware and getting together with other people who are just as angry and want it to stop. And that's the only way this stuff is going to come to an end, if there's enough of a public anger and outcry. Otherwise, they're just going to keep going, business as usual.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Folks, I've been speaking with Marie D. Jones, and her book with her co-author Larry Flaxman is Mind Wars, A History of Mind Control, Surveillance, Social Engineering by the Government, Media, and Secret Societies. You can find out more about the book and more about Marie Jones by visiting her website, mariedjones.com. Marie, Disclosure Media would like to thank you for coming on. And
thank you.
Can't wait for what else you will be bringing to the book market. And thanks for tuning in. You can again find out more about Marie Jones at mariedjones.com. Everyone, have a great night. Thank you again for listening to Disclosure Media Network. Have a great night.